This is Common Sense Radio on the Michigan Talk Network.
Let me run with you tonight. I'll take you on a moonlight ride.
All right, welcome back to it on this Wednesday. There's some. My next guest is a man who became concerned about his own potential addictions and decided to dedicate his life to fighting the opioid crisis through the creation of an innovative technology platform that holds both doctors and patients accountable. John Cruz here, a client and the CEO of Provelt. John, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. So tell me a little bit about your story, how you came to the conclusion that you're on the wrong track and things had to change.
Well, it's an interesting story. I had some very traumatic injuries occur to me when I was serving overseas in Iraq and got hit by an explosive device. And as a result, a lot of surgeries, a lot of procedures, a lot of medications, and I never really felt I understood the ins and outs of what was going into my body. And no matter how much tried to really take a step back and slow down and understand, are these side effects normal or am I experiencing something unexpected? I never really got there. And so several years go by, everything's going pretty good. But then in the news every day, we're seeing, well, I used to say 92 people perish every day. Now it's about 114. And one part that really hurts is the fact that about every 15 minutes a baby is born to neonatal abstinence syndrome, are basically born to withdrawal. And I said, I got to get in the fight. I got to figure out how I can come in and help our fellow Americans understand the medications better, help the physicians teach it better.
Sure. So you got off the drugs. 42,000 people, and I think that's a conservative estimate, died from opioid overdoses last year. By comparison, 32,000 people died in motor vehicles. I mean, more people die from these opioids than do from car accidents anymore in America. That's quite sobering, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, just I'm a chronic pain patient. I'm on opioids. I thought I was addicted at one point. It was because I didn't understand it well enough that it wasn't addiction. It was just dependence, tolerance, which is it's challenging to kind of understand that difference. But one of the reasons why I did jump into the fight is I'll be on these for the rest of my life until they come up with some new technology around the spine. But something that's even that hits me in the gut even harder with the statistic that you shared with the deaths. Not just firearms, not just automobile accidents, but firearms and automobile accidents combined, both at their prime, more have died from the opioid crisis.
Yeah. Opioid killing people, young people, old people, people from all ethnic backgrounds, all economic backgrounds. It doesn't discriminate, this drug, and hooking people and then carrying them down. You know, we just saw a billionaire hedge fund owner die here just a couple of days ago. A billionaire dies in rehab from opioid addiction. I mean, it gets everybody.
Yeah. I have on my company's Instagram and LinkedIn a 60-day campaign to try and break the stigma, where we're highlighting a different celebrity every day for 60 days. And the vast majority are accidental overdose. There was 2 suicides, and there's 1 undetermined from the coroner's report. But when you look at the volume of celebrities who have access to some of the best health care in the world just because of the income differential.
Well, it's amazing to me. I don't know.
Ledger, et cetera, Prince.
Sure, but Matt Mellon, you know, 54 years old, worth billions of dollars, he was taking 80. Yeah. Oxys a day, 80. How in the world does anybody even get their hands on that much?
Yeah, he was taking 80 milligrams of oxycodone a day.
80 pills a day is what the reports all say. 80 pills a day at the end.
My goodness. I'm reading it wrong.
Maybe that's not possible.
Amount, yeah.
I mean, but the point is, it's out there. It's dangerous. What can we do to change this conversation, John? How can we turn it around?
There's 2 prevailing thoughts in the world today, and I'm just wrapping up at an opioid crisis summit in Pennsylvania this morning and got the opportunity to hear from some government officials and industry leaders, and generally speaking, whether it's heads of state coming out and saying, we need an abuse-resistant, an addiction-resistant painkiller. There's been a few media articles that say we're about 5 years away from that. I have not met anyone face-to-face from industry that thinks that's realistic goal. The most excitable goal I've heard anyone say is 10, 12 years. So since that's out of the picture, but that is something that we got to keep our eyes on as a country, you got to move to education and prevention. Just like I went through my trials as a patient, not understanding how to mix different things together and how to take opioids safely. If we don't understand more about the medication, if we don't bridge that gap and stop the abuse before it starts, I don't think there's a turning back point, because 10 years from now, when they get this drug that's non-addictive, you know, simple math, 114 per day die.
So that's a half a million people. It's a half a million people that will die in the next 10 years. A half a million Americans will die. And that's if numbers remain relatively flat. If the numbers continue to increase, as we've been seeing and witnessing, then, of course, the numbers will also increase.
I got to agree with you. It's a scary statistic. This year, from last year, it raised 33%. Last year, the year before, 29%. Year before that, 26%. So we got to know that it's going to continue to go up until we change the way that we work this out. You know, one scary thing there is most physicians, not just pain physicians, but most physicians in general, they'll have their patient sign a piece of paper, an informed consent, that says if something bad happens, well, it's because you didn't do what you were supposed to do and you take accountability. That's been the standard and norm in medicine for 15 years. I'd like to see the standard that we're talking about here and one of the things that PROVE-IT offers to that education level become that standard. You sign off a piece of paper that goes to your medical record that says, yeah, I've mastered this information.
Yeah.
I'm a safer patient because of it, and I'm not going to overdose and die and leave my family behind because of it. I'd like to see, instead of going the legal route and saying, you accept accountability, let's not even go there. Let's prevent that.
Let's stop that. You know, early prevention, not cure, is what you're saying. Let's start with the prevention and not go to the cure.
Continue to fund the research for everything we're talking about, particularly non-addictive, non-opioid painkillers. But in the meantime, why not look at that that educational prevention base to save as many people as we
sure.
can? And then
it brings me back to
and continue the rehabilitation too, of course. Yeah,
sure. Brings me back to neurotransmitters, the spinal cord implants and so forth that block pain. Mm-hmm. Altogether, that are not addictive. People are not on opioids. I know a guy right now who's going through the process of getting a neurotransmitter, you know, to block the messages in his spine because he refuses to take opioids. He's in pretty good pain every day, but he refuses to even take them. He doesn't want to even participate. And so, you know, he's in pain all the time, but he wants no part of it. John Cruz, I got to leave it there. Where can people find out information quickly? A website.
Sure. It's www.drproveit.com. And just visit the Contact Us page and either email us or give us a ring.
All right, DrProveIt.com. Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks.
A quick break. We'll be back with Dan Perkins on the Steve Gruber Show after this.